I suspect most of us are familiar with the story that's entitled The Footprints. It reads like this. One night I dreamed a dream. As I was walking along the beach with the Lord, across the dark sky flashed scenes from my life. And for each scene, I noticed two sets of footprints in the sand, one belonging to me and one to the Lord. And after the last scene of my life flashed before me, I looked back at the footprints in the sand. I noticed that at many times along the path of my life, especially the lowest and saddest times, there was only one set of footprints. And this really troubled me, so I asked the Lord about it. Lord, you said, once I decided to follow you, you would walk with me all the way. But I noticed that during the saddest and most troublesome times of my life, there was only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you the most, you would leave me. God whispered, my precious child, I love you. And I will never leave you, never, ever during your trials and testings. When you saw only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you. Now, the authorship of this story is disputed. There are at least three people who claim to have written the version we read so often, which emerged in the 1970s. But the notion of looking backward to assess our life's journey has even older roots than that. With footprints in the sand and similar references appearing in works by Daniel Defoe, Nathaniel Hawthorne, and a poem by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. The idea of God carrying us through our most difficult circumstances comes from an even older source. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses and the Hebrew people stand looking at the promised land after 40 years of wandering in the desert after slavery in Egypt. And Moses says to the people, the Lord your God who is going before you will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the wilderness. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. That and similar affirmations appear time after time in the Hebrew scriptures. God has cared for you. God is caring for you now. And so you can trust that God will be caring for you in the future. It is one of the foundational promises of scripture. God has been and is now and always will be with you because you are a beloved, precious child of God. Our psalm for today, Psalm 139, comes from the period in Israel's history when the people needed that reminder. The once great nation of Israel had fallen onto hard times. The sons of Solomon had fought over the throne and divided the kingdom in two. The nations around them had grown in power and had greedily gone after Israel and Judah, defeating their kings and enslaving their people, destroying the holy temple in Jerusalem. During the exile, and in the rebuilding years that followed, the challenge for the priests and the leaders of the people was to understand how God was still with them when the very worst had happened to them. The theology of the Jewish people was shaped in large part by the experiences of exile and restoration. Many of the Psalms, including our Psalm for today, reflect this new and nuanced understanding. God does not exclusively reside in heaven far from humankind. God's home on earth is not exclusively in the sanctuary. In truth, there is no place we can go where God cannot find us, no depth too far for God to reach, and no height so exalted that it can separate us. God had been with the people through their captivity in Assyria, in Babylon, in Persia. God had been with Daniel in the lion's den, with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. God had been with Queen Esther when she risked her life to beg the king of Persia for the lives of her people. God had been with Nehemiah when he asked that Persian king to allow the Jews to return to Jerusalem, and when he asked the king to provide the money and the supplies for the journey and the work. God had been with them in the darkest pit and at the brightest point and every place in between. Centuries after, the psalmist expressed this vital connection to God at all times and in all places, the apostle Paul redefined it when he wrote in a letter to the Romans that his experience of the constancy of God came through faith in Jesus. Paul said, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus." The promise is not that nothing bad will ever happen to the children of God. Rather, it is that God will be with us through the worst of times as well as the best. God will be with us through our Assyrias and Babylons, through our captivity and our exile, through our personal lion's dens and fiery furnaces. God will be with us in the depths of grief and sorrow and pain and betrayal, just as God is with us in the days of joy and happiness and celebration. God will be with us whether we follow God's wisdom or reject it. God is with us when we serve with humble hearts and also when we reject avenues and opportunities for service. God is with us when our hearts and our mouths are filled with praise and also when our lips lie and curse. God is with us and will always be with us, not because of who we are, not because of what we do, but because of who God is, all-knowing, all-loving, all-forgiving. John's gospel tells us one day Jesus was traveling with his disciples through the region of Samaria, and they came to a well near the town of Sychar, one with ancient significance. Jacob, the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham, had given that well to his favorite son, Joseph, the same Joseph who was betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery in Egypt. Jesus remained at this well and sent his disciples into town to buy food. It was midday and the sun was hot. A woman came to draw water from the well, which was highly unusual. Most women began their day at the well before the sun was high and the air was stifling. But this Samaritan woman came at midday. And when Jesus asked her for a drink, she was taken aback. See, he is Jewish and she's Samaritan, and typically the one despises the other because of a centuries-long dispute. More than 500 years earlier, when that exile period came to an end, many Jews returned to Jerusalem to rebuild and resettle in the Promised Land, which they believed was their inheritance from God. But some did not return. They had married foreigners. They had settled down and built homes and planted gardens. They were content. They were thriving right where they were. The Hebrew scriptures were being translated into Greek and into the Samaritan language, and they had come to believe that God could be known and worshiped outside Jerusalem, like on this holy mountain beside this sacred well. Jewish purists disagreed. The Samaritan woman expected Jesus to be a purist. Instead, he told her, "A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. A time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. God is spirit." God is spirit, present with us in ways we cannot see or know or understand fully. When we look backward at those footprints in the sand, we can see it. In faith, we believe it. In sure and certain hope, we claim it. Our worship of God, who is spirit and truth, comes through our daily living wherever we go, whatever we do. So this is your challenge this week, church. In the way that I invited you last week to spend a little time at the end of the day reflecting on where God had spoken to you in the day, this week spend a little time looking back at the patterns across your life. See the times where God has carried you. Remember them. Journal about them if you're someone who likes to journal or wants to try it. Make some notes. Sketch pictures if you like artistic expressions. However you do it, remember and celebrate and let your faith be grounded in this truth. God was and is and always will be with us because God is spirit and God is truth. Worship God in your spirit wherever you go. Amen.